A few weeks ago, we started a series of lessons. I don't know how long they'll go on, but they're called Midnight Bible Stories, and there's a lot of midnight Bible stories. And one of the things that precipitated this study was a statement that Brother Hill made when studying Hebrews 11. And that was that the darkest of times brought forth the heroes of faith. And so the midnight, we know in literal terms, is the darkest time of the night. But midnight can be thought of in spiritual terms, in literal terms, and figurative terms. And a couple weeks ago, we started into the story of Rahab and the two spies. What were the two spies' names? We're not given that in Scripture. But we're told who Rahab was. Now, you can probably get something out of all that already. We found when we started our study that the word midnight is found 14 times in Scripture. 14 is a number, it's the number of deliverance or salvation. And we know that Rahab aided the two spies and then gave them deliverance. But in return, she obtained deliverance and salvation also. The story of Rahab basically takes place in Joshua chapter 2, if you want to turn there. There's part of it's in Joshua chapter 6, and we find her name mentioned in a few other scriptures. So there's four characters here, I guess, in Joshua 2. You have Joshua, you have Rahab, and you have the two spies. We pointed out that Joshua 2:1 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.'" They were instructed, these two spies, to go view the land secretly. And you get over into James, where we find Rahab mentioned again. James 2:25, these two men are called messengers. Kind of like almost the opposite of a spy, right? But to Rahab, they were messengers. And to Joshua, they were spies. So we got to think of it like that. Now, we are told that in Joshua 6:23, if you'll just flip over a couple pages in your Bible, it says there were two young men that were spies. So we know that these two spies, even though we don't know their names, were young men. And we also know, if you've studied your Bible, in the lineage of Christ, we find Rahab, and it tells who her husband was, Salmon, S-A-L-M-A, or S-A-L-M-O-N. Now, was that guy one of the two spies? Well, we're not told. It says in Matthew 1:5, and Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab. So Boaz, his mother was Rahab. Okay. And now, I, in my own thinking, think that this Salmon guy was one of the two spies. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but you can't prove it by Scripture. But He came from a family of Nashon. We find that in 1 Chronicles 2:11. And Nashon was a prince of the children of Judah, and which means he was one of the head men of that tribe. Numbers 1:16, you can write these down, look at it a little later, notes that these princes, as they were called, were renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. So that was the lineage that this Salmon guy came from. And he was the guy that did marry Rahab, okay? There was a pattern also found in Numbers 13, 1 through 3 of what was required of the spies, where they came from. And so you can turn there for a moment. Hold your place in Joshua. Go back into Numbers 13. We'll read 1 through 3. And there we find this statement. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man. Note this part. Every one a ruler among them. That was so that they would listen to him when they got back with their report. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now we know that there were two spies that gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb, okay? And now that Joshua's taken Moses' place here in Joshua 2, we find him in charge. He sends out two men, not 12, to spy out secretly. Why two? Two's the number of what? Sufficient witness, sufficient testimony. And so no doubt the guys he sent out were also heads of the children of Israel. And so if you think about it, this Salmon guy, he would fit the description of being the son of a prince of Israel. And he would have been raised to be a man of considerable responsibility, looked up to by those in his tribe, and he had good leadership qualities. He would be thought of as a man of honest character. And can you go over to Ruth for a minute? All these chapters that I'm referencing tie into our story of Rahab and the two spies. And in Ruth 2, we find that Naomi, 2:1, Ruth 2:1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and his name was Boaz. Well, from these princes of the Israel, wouldn't they be prominent men, mighty men of wealth? And so in Ruth 4:20, we find that Nashon beget Salmon, and Salmon beget Boaz, and Boaz beget Obed, and Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David. So Rahab was right there. She was the mother of Boaz. And in Moses' day, one of the two spies that gave a good report along with Joshua was Caleb, and Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. And so Joshua, no doubt, was comfortable sending out another from the tribe of Judah, and that guy would have been Salmon, okay? A prince, a son of a prince of the tribe of Judah, and you can study that out again in 1 Chronicles 2, 10, and 11. Now, does these facts that we've read here this morning and pointed out, do these indicate that Salmon was one of the two spies that Joshua sent out? No, it doesn't say that. But there's a big, strong indication that he could have been. In Joshua 2, back there now, in Joshua 2, 23 and 24, we find some more characteristics of the two spies. One being that they gave a good report and a good and full report of what happened unto them. Joshua 2, 23 and 24. So the two men, these two spies, returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. Notice this. And told him most of the things. No, it doesn't say that. It says all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Where did they get that news? From Rahab. So the good part of their report that the two spies gave Joshua was that truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. And this also shows that the spies believed the Lord too. That, yeah, they haven't conquered the land yet, but he did believe that they would, right? And they told Joshua all things that befell them. Guess what? In telling Joshua all things that befell them, we must note that nothing would have been left out of their story, which also shows the honesty of the two spies. And they were sent secretly by Joshua to go view the land, even Jericho, as we read in Joshua 2:1. And the next thing you know, the next part of that first verse, we find her in the house of a harlot. I don't think I'd go back and tell Joshua about that. Right? That's, if you think like we think, and you think they were proud of this fact? Well, their mission was to go view the land, even Jericho. And I don't think that even Joshua intended for them to go visit the house of a harlot. But they did. And the reason that they did, as Sister Bodie so wisely put it, because the Lord directed them there. You mean that the Lord directed the two spies to go into the house of a harlot? Well, yes, that was, you have to answer that question, yes. But the reason that he did so was manifold and not like we would think as a natural man. One of the primary reasons that they were directed into the house of Rahab the harlot was to show us and to teach us the far-reaching grace of God. And that we shouldn't have our eyes focused on others or the actions of others, but rather we should have our eyes focused on Him. And that means to have our faith in Him. Now, Psalms 37:23, you can jot this down, look it up later, and I'll give it to you now. But it tells us something you all know. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, we are told that God knows and declares the end from the beginning. So surely God knew the end result of the spies visiting the house of the harlot Rahab. Think about it. It was Rahab who gave the spies the information they were seeking. So it was Rahab that made it possible for the two spies to go back to Joshua and tell him what was going on there. But it'd be hard for them to go back to Joshua and not tell him that they found out from Rahab the harlot what was going on there, right? So now, we noted last time that these two spies were received by Rahab, not as spies, but as messengers from God. And that's exactly what they were to Rahab. And then, so these two spies truly were of honest character, and they didn't withhold telling Joshua any of the events which befell them in Jericho. And interestingly, the scripture in Joshua 2 only records the events of these two spies at Jericho when they were in the house of Rahab the harlot. And the two spies made a deal with Rahab, and this was a life or death deal concerning Rahab and her household. These two spies, had they not been of honest characters, they could have easily forgot about the deal they made, but they didn't. And that was because God wouldn't have it that way. For why? They were messengers. And one of the meanings of messengers was an ambassador sent from God, kind of like an apostle, if you want to think of it like that. So this deal that they made with Rahab was told to Joshua, and Joshua took upon himself the responsibility to keep the promise that these two spies had made. Here's the deal, Joshua chapter 2, verse 12. And we find Rahab here speaking. She says, "Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men, the two spies, answered her, "Our life for yours if we utter not this our business, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land," you see, they knew that that was going to happen, they had faith in God too, "that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Drop down to verse 17. "And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." We noted that these two spies were of honest character, and these two spies had made a promise to Rahab, showing that they were also of responsible character. These two spies told Joshua everything that had happened to them on their spy mission, including the promise they made unto Rahab, and as we just mentioned, Joshua took upon himself the responsibility to keep the promise that these two spies had made. But really, this was a shared responsibility between the two spies and Joshua. This wasn't between all of Israel. Yeah. So think about this. It's hard not to imagine that one of these spies may have felt a deep affection for Rahab or even have fallen in love with her, right? In fact, Rahab had identified herself with the two young men from Israel by hiding them from the men of Jericho. That was an act of faith on her part that did not escape the eyes of God, and I'm sure it did not escape the attention of the two spies either. And then think about this. I suppose that the two spies, being of responsible and honest character as they were, they probably slept a little uneasy after their return from Jericho unto Israel, having a deep concern that they could be able to fulfill their promise to Rahab. And no doubt, they reminded Joshua about their promise, perhaps even daily. And so Joshua gave the two spies some important life or death instructions concerning Rahab that are found in Joshua 6. Go over a couple chapters to Joshua 6. We'll read verses 22 and 23. And this is at you know, the Battle of Jericho. But Joshua says here in Joshua 6, 22, but Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. It was, note here in verse 23, that it was they, the two young spies, who went in and brought out Rahab and her family and left them all without the camp of Israel. The two spies were the main characters who had contact with Rahab and her family, at least up to this point in time. And no doubt, the two spies and Rahab must have all been glad to see each other again, her safety having been a relief to all of them. And Joshua 6:25 notes this fact by stating, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. But that's not all that Joshua 6:25 tells us, for we find that there was more to say concerning Rahab herself. And it says this, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. Now, one of the meanings, and you can look this up for yourself, of the word hid is to draw together. And in James 2:25, you can study this later, it notes that Rahab received the messengers, and the word received in James 2:25 means to receive as a guest. When the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews 11:31 of Rahab, he notes that Rahab received the spies with peace. And one of the meanings of receive, if you look it up, is to receive into one's family. Now, obviously, Rahab did receive them like family. And a prominent Jew named Salmon, of honest and respectable and responsible character, received Rahab into his family because Matthew 1:5 records the fact that Salmon had married Rahab. Was he one of the two spies? Well, we can't answer that. And that's a secret that only God can answer. And in so doing, he would reveal the secret of who the spy messengers were. But I think we get a good idea. They could have been. But only God knows for sure. So back to Joshua 2. We've now introduced and said much about the characters of this midnight Bible stories. The story of Rahab and the two spies. So like Paul Harvey used to say, well, let's get to the rest of the story, okay? Joshua 2 starts out telling about Rahab in Jericho living her life of sin. For up to this point in time, she had been an unbeliever. And what was her testimony, her manner of life, her purpose up to this point in time? And it is stated in Joshua 2:1 that she was a harlot. In other words, a worldly woman living the life of sin in a worldly city. The city she was living in was Jericho, which was about to be utterly destroyed by God, which is told in Joshua chapter 6. Jericho itself was a strategic city to the land of the Canaanites, being situated at the entrance of two passes through the hills, one leading to Jerusalem and the other leading to Ai. Jericho was a walled city. It had its own king. It was located about 5 miles west of the River Jordan. And it was about 7 miles north of the Dead Sea. I'll give you some scriptures to look up later. Deuteronomy 34:3, Judges 1:16, Judges 3:13, and 2 Chronicles 28:15. They all tell that Jericho is called the City of Palm Trees. Sounds like a pretty place, don't it? Perhaps it was. Maybe an attractive city to see. There are a couple of different meanings that come from the root word for Jericho. One meaning is the moon or its moon, and it was so named because Jericho was the seat of Canaanite moon worship. Now, you know that God had strictly forbidden the children of Israel from participating in such moon worship, and because they were a redeemed people, and they were instructed in Exodus 20, verse 3, to have no other gods before me. We too are a redeemed people. We are bought with a price, and that price being the precious blood of Christ. I'll read from 1 Peter 1:18 through 21, and it says there, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Again, we are bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. See 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 1 Corinthians 7:23. Our instructions as redeemed people concerning worship are very simple. Worship God. You'll find that in Revelation 19:10 and again in Revelation 22:9. If you want to study the works of the flesh, you can find those in Galatians 5:19 through 21. And that was the kind of people that were in the city of Jericho, including Rahab. The city of Jericho was a worldly city, and Jericho also has a second meaning that comes from the root word for Jericho, which is a place of fragrance. And it pictures, as Sister Bodie points out, the savor of a sweet smell to man. Brother Hawkins also noted in his study book on Luke that Jericho depicts the world and the fragrant deceptions of Satan. Jericho, as you know, was the first city to be conquered in the land of Canaan by the children of Israel. And Sister Bodie also notes in the study book on Joshua, the fall of Jericho is a wonderful figure or a type of the world as already judged by the cross of Calvary. And what were the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples there in John 16, verse 33? He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Anybody find that to be true? Or not to be true? But he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So, bottom line, we see that Jericho pictures the world, which is mightily influenced by Satan. And in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul probably explains it in simplest terms when he writes, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So we note that Rahab was a worldly woman and living in a worldly city. She was dead in trespasses and sins. And in Joshua 2, 1 again, we'll read a few verses here. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And they were so secretive that even the king knew about their business." In the next verse, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." They must have had a big sign on their back what they were doing, right? I mean, it's kind of funny, really. "And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." Now, they knew who they were and where they were. In the introduction here to this midnight Bible story. But we've already noted how it was the Lord that directed the men, the two spies, to the house of Rahab. And the reason that he had done so was manifold, so we could have some lessons here in Sunday school about what took place there. Another thing you all know is in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we mentioned this last week, and I've seen it here again this morning, that these two spies weren't really very good at concealing their identity. And even the king of Jericho knew that these men of Israel were in the house of Rahab, and he knew their mission was to search out all the country. So it's apparent that nearly everyone in Jericho knew there had come spies into their city, spies from Israel. Rahab also knew these two young men were from Israel when she took them into her house. And there are some commentators that are of the opinion that Rahab was an innkeeper or a hostess, even possibly a tavern keeper, and that it wasn't uncommon in that day for women to be the ones who generally kept houses of entertainment. And they lodged there in the house of Rahab for whatever reason. And it was the Lord that directed the spies to the house of Rahab. And the reason was because God knew Rahab's heart. And, you know, one of the things that we can't see when we look at someone is what's in their heart. Or their heart attitude. But that's not the case with God. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And he liked what he saw in the heart of Rahab so much that she ended up being one of the grandmothers in the lineage of Christ, as you find in Matthew 1:5. Lord willing, we'll pick up from there next time.